And in the studio, I've got Shirley and Lorraine, who are the daughters of Narina Hirst. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So if you've just tuned in and you didn't hear me announcing earlier, most people probably know that Narina passed away. It's almost 2 weeks ago now, isn't it? And we had the funeral last week. And I always like to do like a memorial show for our, I say always, this is the third time we've done this. One of our DJs has passed away while they're basically still with us, still being a DJ. Last one was Clint Spadley a year and a half ago. So, yeah, I just wanted to talk about a little memorial show for Nan. And Sean, who is our chairperson, one of our DJs, has been with us for a long time. He's going to come in later. We're going to talk about her time with the station. But I wanted to talk to you guys. And Peter's here as well, but he's away from the mic. He's waving to the mic. Thank you. And I just wanted to talk to you guys a little bit about Nan, because I know about the 10 or 15 years, 15 years that she's been in, you guys have been in Raglan, was it? I think it must be something like that. Yeah, 15 years, Peter's saying. So it would be kind of cool to talk about the early Nan years. Should we start from the start and start from where she was born?
Well, she was born in Invercargill, that's correct, Dad?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For 1943.
Yeah. And that's where she grew up?
She grew up in Invercargill, yes.
It's a long way away, Invercargill. I went there once and I thought people might be different. I was really surprised they were just like everyone else in New Zealand, like same accent and everything.
Slightly different down there. Rolling the R's.
Oh, you're rolling the R's. This is true. Yeah, yeah. So, you're growing up in Invercargill. What do you know about growing up in Invercargill in the 40s and 50s?
Well, you go.
It was probably quite hard. I mean, I know Mum had asthma. So she was she dancing dead? Is that correct? Was she?
She got involved in was it Highland dancing?
Highland
dancing. Okay.
Yeah, to help with her breathing.
Oh, okay.
But yeah. So Mum was she trained as a hairdresser.
Okay.
Back in then,
which we didn't know about. So
no, yeah. Probably just as well. I always had curly hair, so I still have, but mine was always cut short because I never brushed it, probably. Lorraine has long, straight hair.
Mine's long and straight.
So she used to have it almost down to a middle, and I got a bit jealous about that growing up.
And so she cut your guys' hair. Did she cut it the way you wanted or the way she wanted?
Oh, no, she wanted it.
And you were saying to me off the air that she left Invercargill at 16.
Yes.
Correct.
Yeah, which it feels to me like in keeping with her, what I know about her determination to do things, not do things the way she wants. She just always lived her life her way, I feel.
She was a very determined lady.
Yeah, determined, yeah. Mm.
And I think that's where I get some of my trait from, or probably most of my trait.
I don't know you that well, Shirley, but I do kind of pick that up a little bit.
Yeah.
And Peter wants to add, what do you got, Peter?
But she left Invercargill more than anything else to find some of her roots, because she was her dad she hardly ever knew, because he was a travelling salesman and he lived in Blenheim.
Ah.
So he was a Wells from that area, and she finally met, and she had at least a summer with him, but she also did some went to Ruwaka or Motueka and actually did some hop picking there.
Okay, so that's like in her teens.
Oh, very much in her teens.
Yeah, okay. I used to live in Blenheim.
Oh, wow.
Remember, there's a Wells Street there. Was that the...
I'm not sure.
You don't know?
Not sure.
See, this is the stuff only Peter knows. So, yeah. So, and then... And so she was a hairdresser when she was young. Was that the job?
Most definitely.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, Mum used to tell me that she used to bike to work, and it'd be like, what colour hair am I going to have this week? So it was usually a pink or a green or...
Okay.
Well, she can't complain about mine then, can she?
Folks, you can't see Lorraine, but Lorraine's hair has got at least
it's a full rainbow.
I was going to say at least three colours that I can see, but yeah.
They came to Perth last year to see us for my 60th, and even at 60 I can upset her because she didn't like my hair then.
But she had coloured hair
back in the day.
And this is in the 50s.
Yes.
That's pretty daring, isn't it, for the 50s?
Pretty out there.
But she shocked someone she was passing through Queen's Park with, and he fell off his bike because he he was so shocked by the colour of this lady's girl's hair.
That, definitely determined to do things her way then in that case.
Yeah.
That's mm-hmm. quite insightful, actually. I quite enjoy that. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, because, I mean, when I've noticed she's had Nan here, right? She looks like a Nan. Everyone called her Nan.
Oh, yes.
As you discovered, Shirley, when you came to Raglan one time trying to find her at work.
Yes, I did. I went into
Super Value now.
And Mum said, meet me after work. So I go in there and I say, is Narina here? To one of the staff there. And they look at me and go, no, we don't know a Narina. No Narina here. And I went, oh, pretty sure she works here. So I spoke to somebody else and he went, no, I don't know a Narina. And then I thought, okay, well, how about Nan? And they went, oh, yeah, Nan's out in the staff room. Just go go through.
I think the only reason I really know her name is because when we have meetings, committee meetings, you sometimes use people's slightly more formal names.
Yep.
And things like that. But otherwise it probably would have been Nan as well, which confuses my kids when I talk about her at home. But
But that's the person that she was.
Yeah,
wasn't it?
Exactly.
I mean, everybody knew, or a lot of folks in Raglan know her as Nan.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you guys grew up in Coorau. Do you want to describe where Coorau is? Because I don't think many people in the North Island will know.
Well, you'd be surprised. Coorau is actually on the Waitaki
River.
On the Waitaki River. And there's three dams. There's Benmore Dam, Aviemore Dam and Waitaki Dam.
Okay.
And... I mean, that's for me, Waitaki Dam was built in 1934, and my husband's grandfather actually helped build Waitaki Dam.
Oh, okay. Wow.
So it's a very small world.
Yeah, yeah, it is a very small world. And that's, I know Nan, we just discovered she was born in Invercargill and grew up there, so Coorau might have seemed warmer. To me, it seems like it could be a cold place.
No, it snowed every winter.
Snowed every winter.
But it was still an easygoing, carefree, small town.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So you guys, you've got a brother as well.
Yes.
Alan, who I've met, and he was in the studio actually the other day, a couple of days after the funeral, day after the funeral, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there were three of you growing up in Coorau. And you said off there too that Nan worked as well.
Like, school bus. She drove the school bus.
She was. She started at the maternity hospital as a cook.
Yeah.
And then she, when that closed down, she actually went and worked at the Waitaki Hotel as a cook as well.
Okay.
Coorau Hotel, sorry. And a very small town of 800 people, there were three pubs.
Oh, yeah. It sounds like the South Island. Yeah.
And she drove the school bus. She also did a milk run.
So any jobs that were available, she was doing them?
Yeah.
And wasn't there a story at the funeral about taking the school bus out and practicing driving on it?
Oh, that was my brother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was that? Can we do that? Repeat that?
I can't remember that episode.
Alan's the one that told that.
She was doing wheel spins or something. Or
was that
skids.
Defensive driving?
More than anything else, she wanted to know how to control the bus in case she got onto a spin.
Okay.
Or her tail spun out.
Yeah.
So she took it out on a greasy area in front of our place we had at that stage, and she learned to put her foot down to spin her tail out and to bring... hopefully bring it back into control.
Oh, okay. She just decided to go and do that. And Alan, your brother, was in the back.
He was in the back.
Having a few thrill rides.
Not many people get that from their mothers.
Like, no.
Yeah, fairly unique experience. Peter, what were you doing? What was your work at Coorau?
My role there was in the role of soil conservation. Coorau is a small place, but it's... It was the headquarters of the Waitaki Catchment Commission, which is was one of the smaller local body groups who were charged with looking after rivers control and mainly soil conservation. And
okay.
See,
I didn't know that about you at all.
Yes.
Yeah. I knew you baked things. That's mostly what I know. We've got some baking here in the studio now.
But more than anything else, we were endeavouring to get cover back onto depleted hill and high country and stop wind erosion and other forms of soil erosion.
Okay.
The other thing we were majorly worked on was attempting to get rivers under control through riparian planting and building of stop banks. And
what decade was this?
I got married in 1969 and we left in 1985, I think it was.
Because that sounds like something somebody would be doing today. Those exact things.
But the thing is, we were doing some high country planting as well, and we were planting things such as contorta and Douglas fir and other sorts of things which are seeded all over the high country now.
Oh, it was a little too much of it now.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So let's back to Nan. As kids, do you guys get in trouble much? Tell us.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah, it was, if we got in trouble, we got the wooden spoon.
Okay.
And if that didn't work, the dog was called. We got the dog collar.
And then we ran.
Around the back of the legs, and then we ran.
Okay.
I do remember that, I don't know whether it was Lorraine or I, but we used to hide the wooden spoons behind the oven.
Yeah.
And when we moved out of that house, apparently cleaned behind the oven, and there was like three or four wooden spoons there.
Your parents always buying wooden spoons.
Well, we thought if there's no wooden spoon, she can't smack us, right?
Yeah, that's not the lesson she was wanting to impart, I feel. Who was the naughtiest, though, out of the three of you? Was there it was always the youngest one, isn't it?
I don't know.
I think we were pretty much the same, really.
Okay, all right.
I think we got each other into as much trouble as...
There was no favourites on that one.
Peter's about to tell us the answer to my question.
But more than anything else, because Ellen was our child, and these two little Arabs were...
Arabs?
This is an old term.
We're from a former marriage.
Right.
They felt that I spoiled Ellen.
Oh, I see. That was the message you got. Do you guys remember telling
me I do. Ellen was always the favourite.
That's what you do as a kid, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
The other one's always the favourite. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Nan had lots of jobs there. In this community, she's known for being involved in all sorts of things, but I guess if she's raising a family and she's working, that pretty much takes up all your time.
But she still made time for other people.
Absolutely.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We used to live across the school.
Yeah.
And then we moved down to on the Maid Road and...
Onto Paddy's flat.
And the number of times that we would stop and pick up hitchhikers and have them stay the night, and then they'd stay like a week.
Oh, okay. Right.
That was always was always the open house, basically.
Yeah, right.
Anybody could just pop in and, there was always a meal available. Baking was always there, cup of tea was always offered, and that really hasn't changed.
Yeah, yeah. So that's – when did you guys all leave home? Must have been 80s, 70s even, I'm not sure.
No, not so much me.
No one can remember, 17. Folks. They're all looking at each other.
No, I think I was about 17 when I up and left. Just left a note saying, gone shopping in Oamaru and I never came home.
Oh, is that right?
Mm. I guess I was a bit like mum in that way, wasn't I?
That's basically what your mother did as well.
Yeah, basically. Yeah,
it sets the pattern.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I came to Australia in March 1980.
And that's why the accent, folks, Lorraine has the Aussie accent. Yeah. And even though you're back home, do people try and... Shirley, do you try and tell her to, like, go easy on the Aussie accent when she's back?
No, not really. Anymore. It's like, no, not anymore. No.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. You got that pretty quick when you moved to Australia, didn't you?
I don't know.
Yeah,
did I?
You're pretty young by the sounds of it.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to like track down like kids have left home. Is it the kids left home and then Nana Peter went to Oamaru? Well,
Mum and Dad went to the Broader House in Oamaru. You were in Oamaru for a couple of years, weren't you? And then you went to Bible College in Tauranga.
We had bought a home in Oamaru just to actually give us a base to work from. And that was in about 1984. I had already resigned from the Catchment Commission. And but it gave us a base to work from, and this is where Shirley...
I rented it from them.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Shirley stayed there and for a period, and then ultimately Lorraine was basically off her hands as well, and Alan did his high schooling there. He went to St. Kevin's School, which was... He wanted to go to a Christian school, and St. Kevin's, he felt, was better than... Waitaki Boys as far as giving some spiritual oversight. And then after that he joined the Navy.
He was working at McRae's.
I realise that, but there was a gap. And then he decided, right, I need to sort my life out. So he applied for and got a job in the Navy. And
So how old is Alan?
Alan's just turned 50.
Okay, yes, he's about my age, yeah. Mm. So you've had 30 years. Mm. This is 30 years after you guys left home.
Yeah.
Mm. And you two went to Bible College as 40, somewhere between 40 and 50. But what did you do after that?
Well, we went back to Oamaru. Our kids were basically off our hands, and we did the odd trip to see Lorraine in person, but we also did a trip over to China shortly after Tiananmen Square, and that was a bit...
Okay, in the 90s,
yeah.
Early 90s.
Yeah, that was a bit scary, but we knew that we'd ultimately come home.
Or be sent home.
They went to China 3 months before my first wedding. And
were they there for the wedding?
I actually asked my brother if Mum and Dad weren't home.
Were they easy to get hold of over there? Like to communicate with?
I didn't communicate. You weren't there for long, were you? 3 weeks or something?
Oh, okay, right. You're just worried they might not come back.
So we went on a short-term mission trip, you might say. Mm. And they thought we were going to be captured and hung, drawn, and
because you'd seen all the footage from Tiananmen Square, which was quite kind of oppressive.
But more than anything else, China was wanting to open up and welcome tourists, but we went in there slightly with an ulterior motive
because of your faith.
Oh, you could say that,
to give it some idea. It makes it sound like you're running drugs or something. So.
They took Bibles.
They're running Bibles, okay. Funny.
But more than anything else, we got to know some neat people over there, and some of them even spoke English.
That's helpful to get to know them. So what did Nan do, like, work-wise after that?
She was a caregiver in a rest home.
Okay.
In Oamaru.
So she did nights.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Four nights a week.
Like a challenge?
Yeah, I think so.
I think so.
Yeah, four nights a week. Wow. And that was for quite a while, was it?
Quite a period.
Because jobs weren't easy to come by at that stage, and I picked up a job with Crothall's as a cleaner caretaker type job, but... I was given an assurance that I'd find a job and I was on overalls and I'd be driving around Oamaru, going in and out of buildings. And that's exactly what I was doing. And I did it for just on 10 years, and what irked me was in winter I was cleaning high windows with a long pole brush and the water was coming down the hole and down to my arms. And I said, Lord, I do not want to this to carry on forever.
So when there's retirement at 60.
Retirement? What's
retirement?
Do you not know my parents?
This is why I bring this up. You guys moved to Raglan 15 years ago. Well, not you guys.
Yeah, Mum and Dad.
Yeah, and Shirley. But you guys have got kids?
Yes, I have.
I've got three boys.
Three boys. And how did Nan like being a Nan?
She loved it.
She loved it. Yeah, her grandchildren were part of her pride.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And some of them must be grown up now too, I guess.
Yeah, well, my daughter's 29.
Oh, wow, really grown up. Yeah.
My boys are 30, 28 and 26.
No great-grandchildren?
Not yet. No, there's one coming next year.
Oh, really?
So about Feb, March.
Well, congratulations ahead of time,
Thank
Peter.
Thank you.
But more than anything else, we felt sorry for the grandkids in Australia because they were so far away and we'd never really got to know them.
Yeah.
And that was a heartache for Narena as well.
But they did get together. My boys got together and paid for Mum and Dad to come over to Australia for my 60th last year.
So that
was a really special time.
Yeah, and just in time, really.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we used the word retirement, but what things was Nan doing with her retirement when she got the chance?
Well, I think she started it on the radio, and, well, you offered Peter a, and she went, no, I'll do it.
No, it wasn't Aaron. It was the captain.
Eddie Cross.
Cross.
No, Eddie Jones. Yeah.
He said, would you like a job on the local radio? I was down at the library at the time, and I said no, but Narena was in the distance, but she would, because Narena had a hankering and had a good friend in Invercargill who was the daughter of the 4XO or one of the radio stations down there, and she felt that this would be neat because... In the past, she felt that the cowboys came into town and rode up to the radio station and tied their horses on in front of the radio station, went in and played their songs.
That's what she thought radio was. Because she liked country music, I guess. I guess that's the connection. What were you two whispering about then? There's something you want to talk about.
Yeah, no, my mum's sister worked in a radio station, but Shirley said was never on air.
Oh, a non-speaking role.
Yep.
Well, anyone can be on the air here. We're very welcoming to everyone who wants to do a show. And we do like the ones that show the level of commitment that Nan showed. She was always here. As long as she could make it, she would be here. Mm-hmm. And contributed a lot behind the scenes.
Oh, she had a passion for the radio show.
Mm. Is that something she kind of probably didn't even know she had until she did it?
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, her cousins in Porirua would always tune in.
Right.
Between 2 and 3. It's something between one, after 1 o'clock, but between 2 and 3, they always tuned in every week when she was on the air.
Yeah. And she was also involved with the community patrol.
Correct.
And she was doing stuff at the community house and the shop there.
Yeah.
Other things that I've forgotten or don't know about?
The camp.
Camp Raglan.
Oh, the Bible camp out on
Camp Raglan.
Yeah. She was just working there or volunteering?
Mum was the cook.
Oh, back to the cooking again. There was a lot of cooking. They had a market stall too at the Creative Market at one point.
Yes. And Mum got the accolades for the donuts that were actually made by Dad.
Oh, really? What happened there?
Well, Dad was make the donuts and pretzels, and, of course, Mum just sold them. And
right.
So people were...
Oh, they assumed she did.
She did it. And they used to come far and wide for Nan's donuts and pretzels.
That were made by Dad.
Yeah. And she was... Oh, Peter, you got something?
But more than anything else, she helped clean up after me.
And she was involved. You guys have been involved with Surfside Church too for presumably
have.
since the time.
Ever since we were in Raglan, we felt Surfside Church was our home and had a lovely, good and outreaching type atmosphere. And when we went down to Hawke's Bay, we went to another camp, and we felt as if we'd been sent down there to, you might say, continue to spread the word via food.
Via food. So, like, how important was her faith for Nan? Because we haven't talked about that, and surely that's a fairly big part of her
very
life.
Very strong.
Yeah. See, I was thinking when I was flying over from Perth to, I was actually the Melbourne to Auckland, and I was thinking about something that I could say about Mum, and it was love is patient, love is kind, love does not rejoice that has suffered wrong. But that was her.
And that's a passage from the Bible for those who don't know. Yeah.
1 Corinthians.
Yeah.
But and that's what she exemplified, and she was always looking out for people and wanted their well-being, and she put them over herself.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, that sounds like the Nan that we know around here too. Yeah.
I mean, even yesterday when we were talking to a young man, you know, he was saying that Nan, or Mum, changed his life.
Right,
because you know, he was.
That was just when I bumped into you guys outside here.
Yeah, he was off down to the pub to
have a few drinks.
It sounded like too many drinks was what was planned.
Drown his sorrows as it was, and you know, Mum had a talk with him, and basically since that day he's been 285 days sober.
I didn't realise. I wasn't there for that whole conversation. Because I vaguely know him from somewhere. I don't really know where. But I didn't know what the connection was with Nan, so that's how that happened.
Pretty, and yeah, he found that was very powerful for him. Whatever she said,
we'll find out what she said.
Literally changed his life.
Yeah, that's a good way to remember it.
Basically, it's a word in season can really change things, but sometimes if you. If it's done in love, but if you do it in other ways, people very quickly turn off.
So it's just the right time.
Mm.
Yeah, it always is. And it's got to be the right time.
She always had a way of saying things that sort of spoke to your heart, without being, you know, overpowering or controlling or anything like that. But you know, in that gentle.
Yeah, she was very grounded, I think. Like, not prone to, when the rest of us would be losing our heads about something. That
she would just come in.
She didn't go with us. Yeah, I remember that. Because, you know, I've told you guys, I think, that the station had a bit of a crisis about 12 years ago. So,
right.
Yeah, and there was, I don't want to go into the details, but there's paranoia about some things in some quarters. But, yeah, she didn't really buy into that sort of thing.
But she would have calmed everyone down and sort of just brought it back to a
stable. We're all, like, all of us had our kind of attributes that I guess we put the station into rescue mode, but yeah, just being stable and not flying off to the slightest thing was really important at that time. Right. So folks, we're talking to Shirley and Lorraine, who are Narina's daughters, and Peter's here as well, Narina's husband. What have you got, Peter?
At that stage, she didn't allow the rubbish that was going on to affect her to a point, but she knew that if money was coming in that you, Aaron, could raise, we'd continue to function.
It does help to have a bit of money. And she actually, I want to mention something too, I know at one point she was talking to me about the night owls, the community patrol, and that a lot of the documentation for that organisation had lapsed, like its charitable status and incorporated society status and even access to the bank account, I think, because someone else had passed. And having done that sort of stuff myself, like she said about getting that all up and working again for community patrol, and it's not, I mean, it's paperwork, right? It's not fun, but it's really essential. And it's bureaucracies, I think that's an important thing that should be acknowledged as well.
Mm-hmm.
For community organisations, we have to have that stuff.
Yeah.
So we can get the funding.
Yes.
Yeah, Peter's talking about. Yeah, yeah. All right, look, we're going to wrap this bit up. I've got Sean here in the studio as well. We're going to have a chat. We'll probably have a 10-minute chat in a few minutes. Is there anything else you guys want to say or leave us with?
All I can say is that she loved the community. She loved serving. And we didn't mention she does have a granddaughter in Hamilton that she loved very much as well.
Yeah. Okay. Nice to have the kids close.
Yeah,
for sure. All right, guys, thanks for coming in.
Thank you,
Aaron.
All right, we are going to have a little break, play some ads, a little bit of music, and I'll come back with Sean in a few minutes.